I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The LSU Fighting Tigers on the road on the Plains, taking on Auburn, 6 o'clock kickoff. Right here on WWL, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottiglie, Christian Garrick, welcome in now. Brian Matthews covers Auburn sports for Rivals.com. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing? Always good to talk a little SEC football with you two.
All right, Brian, thank you for coming on.
Brian, is Coach Harsin's job on the line if they lose, especially with LSU favored by 9, and if LSU wins by 10, is he gone?
Probably. You know, I think his game is, I think his job is on the line just about every week, right? I think it's just a matter of waiting for the right time, and, that axe is probably going to fall. If not this week, then certainly next week at Georgia at number one, that's going to be probably blood in the water type game.
Brian, this is almost like you're hearing the tick tock of a clock. The alarm's going to go off, and he's out of there. But in watching him, you know what's perplexing? I mean, you got one of the best players in the SEC in Tank Bigsby at running back. Okay, you feed it to him in the first half, and all of a sudden you unplug him. I don't understand what that's all about, because here you got a really good football player at running back and keep feeding him the football. And yet they've unplugged him at different times during games. And if you look at Auburn, he's the best player they got, especially on the offensive side. There ain't even a question about it. How much questioning is play calling, everything about what's happening at Auburn, but in particularly with Bigsby? Because I think, I got a 3-year-old granddaughter that can figure out that guy can play.
Yeah. Well, he had, I think it was 7 yards for 8 carries in the second half of that game. He is Auburn's by far best player on offense. The problem is, they don't have a scheme really that fits him, and they cannot block for him at all.
Gracious.
He averaged 2.3 yards per carry. That's embarrassing for a back of his caliber, right? I mean, he has the potential to play in the NFL, right?
No question.
There's no reason that he should have 19 carries for 44 yards against a Missouri defense that's, bang on average. So that's just a real indication of all the problems Auburn has on offense. It's in the execution, but more so it's in the plan, the game planning, the motivation, the talent on the offensive line and the quarterback. There's just a lot of different things holding back that offense right now.
Now, Brian, with all the games you've witnessed, when you look at this Auburn team and the games you've witnessed in Jordan-Hare Stadium, how disappointing as far as the fan base? Were they just told, this is ridiculous, this is embarrassing? When Penn State came to town and you give up 41 points and basically 500 total yards, was that something like what? I mean, it's like almost, we like a 1AA team trying to play like Division I or something. They had to be totally discouraged. And have you witnessed that type of game in a while? I'm trying to think. This might be one of the poorest Auburn teams in 2 decades.
Yeah, it could be. It could very well could be. The 2012 team went winless in the SEC.
Okay.
But it was still competitive in some games. And you look at Auburn this year, since really the first quarter of the Penn State game, the atmosphere has been really dead in Jordan-Hare. I wouldn't expect it to be. Fans will be there. They'll cheer, but it's not going to be electric. Not like some of those Jordan-Hare nights or games between Auburn and LSU that we've witnessed in our time. I mean, some great games, you know,
right.
at Jordan Hare and at Tiger Stadium. Right? I just don't see that happening. In fact, we make our predictions, you know, later this week. I'm going to predict LSU to blow out Auburn at Jordan Hare Stadium. That's how poorly coached and how poorly manned I think this Auburn team is this season.
Brian, there's a perception outside the Auburn kind of family that there's a lot of interference from influential alumni about how things should be done. There's a lot of pull and tug. Hey, I'll write you that check. I got some say on what's going on. And how much of that is true? And the other part is, I think people are saying, man, all the money that's being spent in the SEC for coaches, if it's what it took to get Billy Napier from University of Louisiana to Gainesville, Brian Kelly at LSU, to keep Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And eventually somebody going to have to pay Sam Pittman and Josh Heupel a lot more money than what they're making today. Do you get the feeling, first of all, how much interference, and is that part of it true? And secondly, I know Auburn's got a lot of money, and they could afford to go out and get a big-name head coach if they wanted to. But is it because of divisions, maybe outside the program?
Well, I think, and I've been around the block a few times, I think every school has, you know, BOT and money guys that, you know, they don't always agree on things. They like to meddle and be involved sometimes. I think it's amplified at Auburn because Auburn's not doing well, number one. And number two, just because there's been a history now, and I think it's the easy thing to turn to at Auburn when things don't go right. You know, it's a meddle and you go back to February, the investigation of Harsin, right? The university conducted an investigation with counsel into an allegation on Harsin, but the narrative on that turned into, you know, the powers that be at Auburn were trying to, you know, run a coup behind the scenes to get rid of him. Now, I do think as the investigation went on and as, you know, people began to put a, you know, a magnification lens on the Auburn program, some powerful people thought he probably needed to go. So maybe that was a part of it. But that's just the way things are viewed at Auburn through that lens. And I think it's an easy way to do. Yes, I think Auburn has a problem. I think a lot of schools have that problem. And I also think one of the other problems that Auburn has is some of those guys don't tend to agree very well, and that makes it difficult when it comes to hiring and making important coaching decisions. That's why it's really important for Auburn to get, you know, they have a new president start in May. They're in the process of hiring an AD. They need to get those things accomplished and done and have the right people in place to make these moves. But one more thing on that, I'm sorry, but you look at basketball, the Hybris Pearl, there's no more issues in that program. That was a program that was bombing the SEC for decades. Baseball under Butch Thompson, two College World Series in the last three postseasons. So you can get it done at Auburn. It's just getting the right people in place.
Got you.
Now, Brian, looking at their offense and where they're at, and you might say, I guess you could understand that they were playing, I don't know, a rivalry-type game against Alabama. But let's say Georgia. But playing the Missouri Tigers, and that the offense converted just 3 of 16 third down attempts and had one drive last longer than 7 plays. I mean, it's like Missouri's like, what? I mean, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not a Missouri defense that's, oh, well, yeah, we're lucky to do that. I mean, that's when you know it's trouble when you don't have that any success against a team like Missouri.
It is. And, you know, I have not seen Vanderbilt play a lot, but my guess was walking on that stadium that we watched the 12th and 13th teams in the SEC, you know, playing each other. And I don't know how many people out there actually watched the game, but Auburn was very, very lucky to win that game. Missouri missed a 26-yard chip field goal that was lined up with time expiring regulation to send it to overtime. Auburn kicked a field goal in overtime on their first possession, but only because they missed one. Missouri's offside, they got to re-kick it.
Right.
And then Missouri gets the ball at overtime, hands it off down the left side. Their running back is running into the end zone for a touchdown, switches hands, and just coughs up the ball without contact into the end zone, which Auburn recovers and Auburn wins the game. It was just mistake upon mistake that handed Auburn that win.
Brian Matthews covering Auburn sports for Rivals.com. Go ahead, Mike.
Brian, there's been some rumors out there that, you know, when the eventuality is going to happen with Brian, that one of the guys they may go after would be Deion Sanders. Your thoughts on that? Because I've heard it from a couple different people. One guy I trust quite a bit. The other one, you know, he's batting in the 20s. He's not real good with it. But your thoughts on would Auburn make that move toward Deion? Because it looks as though that maybe it's a little bit more stable at Florida State, and a lot of people thought maybe, hey, listen, if it doesn't work out, that, you know, Deion would come walk back to Tallahassee and sort of get that position. Would Auburn go that route toward Prime?
Yeah, and Brian, think, along those think. Lines, you look at the Atlanta connection, now Georgia Tech, and Deion. Deion's getting a few – the name is tossed out there when you think, come on, Auburn, Georgia Tech.
Deion might finally get paid like a coach, right, like he got paid as a player.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I will even interview him or make contact with his representative.
That's what I thought, too.
He's a candidate, you know, for the Auburn job. I do think an opportunity is going to come for him, but – if you look at from Auburn's perspective, Deion has no experience as, you know, assistant or GA or anything coaching on this level and running a program as big as Auburn, where you've got, you know, 40 or 50 assistant coaches and staff members. And, you know, you've got all these extra duties that you have to do, you know, and then you've got the extra thing of having to compete against all these other great SEC teams. So, I don't think they're going to take that sort of risk. I do think some school that maybe is in a different position, maybe Georgia Tech, you mentioned Atlanta,
yep,
maybe they're at their point in their program where they want to take that risk, but I don't think there's any chance Auburn does that. I think.
So you would think more of an experienced coach, correct?
Yes, I do. Or a hot up-and-coming assistant. You know, I don't think there's any guy out there that you can point to and say, that guy's the perfect fit at Auburn. If Auburn hired here, he's going to come in here and win championships. You know, they're not getting Ryan Day or Nick Saban or any of those guys. That's not going to happen. But there's nobody else available that they're going to get that can do that for 100% certain. So I think John Hartwell from Utah State, there's a chance he could be named AD in the coming weeks, possibly, maybe sooner. So I think he'll be put in charge of that coaching search, assuming that Brian Harsin is let go here in the next week or two. And then I think that you know, some names I think that will certainly be involved. Hugh Freeze is going to be involved in it one way or the other, whether he gets a job or not. I think Coach Stoops over there at Kentucky will certainly get looked at and maybe talked to. We'll see. And there's going to be more. There's going to be plenty more out there. But, this is an important search for Auburn.
Yes.
I think they're in a situation where I think every Auburn fan out there sees Auburn, a bad Auburn team, but they've seen, you know, a bad Auburn team in 2009. Or 2008, excuse me, come back in 2010 and win national championship. A bad Auburn team in 2012, get a new coach, come back in 2013 and play in the BCS national championship game against Florida State and lose on the last play there. So they're expecting that quick turnaround. But I'm telling you, this Auburn team has not been, you know, staffed well. It's not, the recruiting's not good enough. This team roster in 2023 is going to be worse than it is now.
Oh.
And you look at the SEC and some teams coming up in the SEC and some teams about to join the SEC. This is a critical, critical time period for Auburn.
Yeah, you need to get another Cam Newton.
The other thing, Brian, I remember having this conversation with Les Miles, and Coach would always tell me, Mike, when I look at Auburn, they look a lot like us on defense. He said that that's one thing that for a long time, man, that front seven, man, they came to play. And they had NFL talent, the speed, the quickness. They made big plays. And I'll never forget Les telling me that. You know, he said, it's almost looking at a mirror image of how we are on defense. They are on defense. I don't see that.
Well, Auburn does have some NFL players on that defensive front four. Derek Hall is a superstar. He's SEC player of the defensive lineman or defensive player of the week, I think, last week.
Last week, yep.
He's an edge player, yeah. Kobe Wooden's very good up front. Marcus Harris is a good player. Eku Liotta's probably going to have a chance to get drafted. He's the other edge guy. So they've got some really talented guys in their front four that can make plays, that can disrupt an offense, that can create turnovers and do those things. But they got a real problem at linebacker. That position is performing really poorly. Run fits are bad. Missed tackles are really bad. And then they've got some real playmakers in the secondary. I mean, they've had a number of high draft picks at cornerback and in the NFL draft for the last 5 or 6 years, and they got more of those guys back there now, but they're not really all playing together well. They've gotten worse under the new coordinator, in my opinion. They're not really communicating. They're not, you know, I think the play at linebacker is hurting that group, but, you know, they're good, but not great. And I think they should be better than they are. Then offensively, it's just
a mess.
It's a big mess. Yeah.
Brian Matthews covers Auburn for Auburn Sports for Rivals.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Of
course, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.